My name's Mel Herbert, and he's Tom Wolfson. We're going to be talking about the cars, the batteries, the solar panel, the stock price, the man, the myth. We're going to be talking about everything Tesla. Why? Because we're
talking Tesla.
Melvis, Talking Tesla, episode number 15. Did you push the record button?
Yes, I did. It's early in the morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and I'm not feeling it, so I got to get some blood flowing here. Let me just bang my head on the wall. Yeah, that helps.
Fella got him out of bed to do some Talking Tesla. It's going to be exciting.
It's tough. I just feel like, you know, the weather has changed. It went from blazingly hot summer to long, cold nights in 5 minutes.
It did. It's been very, very chilly.
We need more global warming. I'm for it.
I think it may have had a positive effect on my automobile, though.
Yeah, tell us what happened here, Tom. This is very,
I don't
very
know.
Interesting.
All of a sudden, yesterday, this happened yesterday.
Electric
RAV4 happened about 8:30 last night. I was driving back from Van Nuys to pick up my daughter at her gymnastics. I'm driving. I got the heater on in the car, and I pull into the driveway of my house, and I turn the heater off first, and then I put the car in park, and I look up, and my range says 135, and I was like, well, that's higher than I've ever seen it. I'm not on extended charge, and I was actually just driving, so it's not fully charged. And so I turn the car off, and I turn the car back on, and it goes to like 121, and it's still a lot for a non-extended charge on that car. Usually, typically, it's like 96, 98, 99. Now, I have been the sole driver of this car for a while, so...
And you drive like a grandmother.
I do, yes, that's very true. Not like a very youthful grandmother.
Okay, yeah, young grandma.
Young grandma. And then this morning, I get into the car, I turn it on, it says 183 miles range.
What?
It was plugged in overnight, so it was charging. And then I turn on the air conditioner... Or the heater, because it's very cold, and it goes down to 95.
Instantly.
Wow. Instantaneously.
So that heater must be giant, or there's a software problem.
Well, the interesting thing about the heater is it doesn't actually work to heat the car. It blows the cold air for hours and hours and hours. I'm going to know.
But it uses a lot of energy while it's doing
it. Yeah, apparently it uses half the range of the battery to do that. So then I was like, huh. I'm driving down the street and it's at 183 and I turn the heater off. Or it was at 95 because I turned the heater on. I was like, oh, that's disappointing. And I'm driving down the street and I'm like, I'm going to turn the heater off. Back to 180. Turn the heater back on. Back down to 90. I think something might be wrong. I'm not going to test it.
No, no, that's what I was going to say. You should turn the heater off and drive to Vegas. See how far you get. That'd be cool.
Will you drive behind me?
Nope.
With the tow truck?
Nope. But I'll let you use Uber.
So if anybody out there who's got one of these RAVers, RAV4 EVs as it were be, let me know if you've ever seen anything like that.
Well, you just got a new battery, you know?
That's right.
They put the new battery in, they did something wrong. Or maybe you really can get 180.
But it's been a week or two, and I've never – this number is very shocking to me. We've had – the last 2 weeks, we've had so many range anxiety issues with that car. One day, it didn't charge overnight. I had 25 miles, and I had to take my daughter to school that is 17 miles of range away. So you can get there, but you cannot get back.
In fact, we have a little audio. You sent me a little message that day. Let's play that now.
Her school requires about 17 miles of range, so getting back is a little bit of an issue. So I'm driving, and I know that they have a charger in the student parking lot at her high school. So I drive here, and I get here, and I have about 9 miles left, and the thing is blinking, charge now, and I pull into the parking lot, and I'm like, that's cool. I'll just sit here for like an hour and do a little work, and I'll get my car charged, no problem. And then I pull into the charger spot, and there's two parking spots, but there's only one charger, and there's a Nissan Leaf charging. And I don't know where this kid is. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I start looking around, and I find the teacher parking lot, and they have 4 charge point chargers, and none of them are being used. So I pull into one of them, And now I'm sitting in my car waiting for it to charge another 5 or 6 miles. It seems like it's a very slow charge point charger, though, like 6 kilowatts an hour, which is super low, apparent to the thing. I don't know what it's costing. The cool thing is I used Apple Pay, so I walked up to it, clicked my phone in front of it, and it just turned itself on. So that was kind of cool.
So there was Tom stuck at school.
Yeah, sitting in the back of the car, no Wi-Fi, in the teacher's parking lot, using ChargePoint. And the exciting thing about it, and I'm not sure, I think it's in that audio. I didn't just re-listen to it. Secrets of production. I use my Apple Pay.
Yeah, I've done that. That's cool, isn't it?
So awesome.
At Costco at the new mall, you can. There's like 12 electric car plugins.
Yeah, a lot of them. I saw those.
And you just Apple Pay, boom! And yeah. I did it just for fun. I'm like, oh, let me spend money on electricity I don't need.
It's
just
great.
For fun.
It seems like you don't even need to have a ChargePoint subscription for that to use it that way, which I think is spectacular.
I hate all these different charging things and you've got to get a card and beforehand, like, no, just take my money. I don't want to sign up for your stupid thing. Just take my Apple Pay. It was brilliant. Stupid. Hey, we should probably do a show though.
All right, let's stop talking about me, even though
you're fascinating.
I am,
in every way,
very fascinating.
I'd like to whisper about it. Look, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, last time in episode 14 we sort of tore autopilot a new one. We tore it a new one. And maybe we're a little bit harsh. At least people thought so.
I was not.
Well, some people thought so. We got two comments. Here we go. First of all, Rob Vestrom, and he is from Calgary, and he basically said, I disagree with you guys. I agree with Electric Jen. I think it actually makes me a better driver. I think you should actually get off your buttocks and get behind the wheel of a car with autopilot. Oh, called out. And stop worrying about it. And his analogy was, do you think that just cruise control is bad? Clearly, if you screw up cruise control, you can crash. But people know how to use cruise control, so it's not a big problem.
I love our listeners. Worst analogy ever.
Really?
Cruise control is not directional control of the car. You still have to pay attention completely 100% when you're in cruise control. Also, most people don't use cruise control tooling around their neighborhoods. They use it on long stretches of freeways. I'm actually not even a huge fan of cruise control for the very same reasons I'm not a huge fan of autopilot. And maybe that makes me an outlier, but I don't think we were wrong. And in fact, I think Tesla proved it because Elon came out and said, this is not good.
Well, before you get there, Andy McLeod said basically the same thing. He said, hi, Mel and Tom, or is it Tom and Mel?
I think it might be.
Yeah. And he basically said the same thing. He said, you know, you guys probably have your head in your buttocks. And what's the deal with these Tesla owners putting on these crazy videos on YouTube to destroy the whole concept of autonomous driving? He called these people big idiots.
Why?
Stop doing it, he said.
Oh, so beta testing and control of something in 40,000 cars is good, but real world experiences that people are having and sharing with us, that's bad. So we would rather not know that autopilot has some problems, because I got news for you. Without any of that stuff, the media, the mainstream media, isn't talking about that. What they are reporting on these YouTube videos that people are putting up of the car, I don't know, steering into the alternative lane of traffic. This thing is not ready. I'm sorry. It's not. I'm going to stand by that. It's an awesome thing in the future when all cars have it and can talk to each other. But now it is not. It's not ready for prime time.
Tom?
Yeah.
I really want you to calm down.
I'm calm. I'm trying to bring the energy.
But I think you're a little... Is this helping you, the way I'm talking?
That is nice.
Well, it's interesting because I basically agree with you, Tom. And now Elon has said, hang on a second. Whoa. He's looked at these same videos going, that's some scary looking crap.
Tesla has used one of their official timeouts, I believe.
And so what was his direct quote? Some fairly crazy videos on YouTube. This is not good.
Right.
But so they're actually going to wind it back. They're going to put some extra restraints on this thing. And it sounds like they're going to do something like, if your hands are not on the wheel, autopilot will not turn on. So even Elon and the boys have responded to these YouTube videos saying,
Well, that's not good. So I don't know how they're going to do this thing where if your hands are fully off the wheel that it's going to turn off. I don't know. They didn't really say. But the other thing he did say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is that they are learning an enormous amount from this beta testing. And
guinea pigs.
And that it's getting better and better all the time. And there were some problems with when you come into turns, it wasn't sort of slowing down like a normal driver. And so they're fixing all that
interesting
stuff. But then he said, you know, we're going to crank it down, like we said. But there was something else I was going to say, and I've completely
I have a question. Do Tesla autopilot beta testers prefer lab rat or guinea pig? I'm just curious which one of those two things that they would like to be referred to as.
Well, you're just jealous because you don't have it.
Well, of course.
If you had it, you'd be using it every 5 seconds.
I would probably, yes, that's probably true, but that doesn't make it right. that's the whole point of this. Of course I'm going to use it, but it's not ready.
Basically, they're going to crank it down a little bit. Elon looked at those things and they're all a little bit concerned. Hey, just be careful out there. I think if you use it sensibly, it's a good thing. I know personally I'm not sensible. I probably shouldn't be dressed.
And you don't even have it. This is the thing. The best thing about this show is the two of us can talk and talk and talk.
Like, idiots.
Like we know what the hell we're talking about. And so, we've never been behind the wheel.
And so Andy and Rob, you're right, we're idiots. How bad. All right, but there was one autopilot feature that doesn't get talked about very much, but there's another video out there by Electric Gen.
Oh.
And it shows the Tesla just parking.
And now here, I'm going to open a window. That thing was awesome. It worked amazing.
I could not get into the spot that she just parked that Tesla in, and
she kept moving the cars a little closer and closer and closer to each other. It was great. It parked. It looked like it parked perfectly every time. It was just like, what I really would have loved to have seen is inside like mounted camera of that happening to see like what the wheel was doing and the whole deal. That would have been awesome.
Get on it.
Yeah.
Tom needs some more parking videos, but I'm a crappy parker, so I cannot wait to get that in my next car.
Yeah.
Let's talk Model X. So Model X, we went to the show and we talked about it a couple of episodes ago. It was a great time, and I'm number 3,842 on the list, waiting for the email to come to say, hey, Mel, why don't you go configure your Model X, buddy? Hasn't come. And then you said, Tom, nobody's getting these yet. And there's this dashboard thing. What the hell are you talking about, this dashboard that tells you what's happening?
There's this form. It was put together by the folks at the Tesla forum or somebody that's on the Tesla forum. That's where I found it, the Tesla Connect, owners forum. It's modelxtracker.com. And basically people have put where they are in the process,
right,
on this spreadsheet. And so it'll say like signature number 480, for instance. I don't know if that's an actual number to protect the innocent. And then it'll say where if they've been in the design process, ordered, so it goes down the list, right? So as you go into the design process, you tick that box. And when you get a delivery date, you tick that box.
Do that so well.
And when it arrives at your house, you tick that box, wow. Right? And so I think it's very interesting.
And when you crash with autopilot, that box.
you untick that box. So I think it's pretty cool to kind of watch that and you can kind of see it. It appears that they haven't really gotten anywhere with the production models yet, at least according to this Model X tracker. Now, I don't think, obviously, it's not every Model X in the world is on this list. It's people who are on the forum and put their information up on this thing. It's pretty interesting to watch. They added a little front page dashboard where it says like number in design. Like, so you can kind of watch it without having to delve too deep into the thing. And it's actually pretty cool. Pretty cool little feature. I wish I could give credit to the person who made it, but I don't know who that is
now. Don't know who it is. All right. Well, that's cool. I will now watch that because I want to know when I'm going to start to configure my X. It hasn't happened yet again.
Yeah, and there's
842.
I'm sorry. And there's an S version of the same thing. So you can actually see S's and how long from design to delivery, like they go. It's pretty cool.
All right. And I should go back and say, I forgot to say in the autopilot thing, there are now lots of reports coming out about drivers saying how this autopilot prevented them getting into an accident. So for completeness, I forgot to say that. A lot of people saying on the forums and other places, I was going to crash and the freaking car said, hang on a minute and save my life. So that's the upside to the autopilot stuff. And we'll get a lot of data because they're doing like a million miles. I can't remember. Was it a day or a week?
I think it's something like that, yeah.
A million miles a day or a week that they're getting through this thing. So we'll get some real data, hopefully. Maybe they'll release it for us. We killed three people and saved five. Hey, we're ahead of the game. Woohoo. All right, now
a million miles a day. Just
million miles a day and data being aggregated.
That's a lot of driving for...
Wow.
The interesting thing is that's 40,000 cars. How many miles is that per car per day?
20. 25-ish.
Yeah.
See, that's about right.
That's about right.
Yeah. See, there you go. Hey, I want to talk about SolarCity for a second because SolarCity shares just plummeted.
Boom, tanko.
Tankorama. Now, remember that SolarCity is owned, I think, 30% by Elon Musk.
Yeah.
His cousin is the CEO.
He's on the board, maybe the chairman of the board. I don't know if he's the chairman, but he's on definitely the on the board.
And the reason they plummeted, and it's not just SolarCity, it gets reported as SolarCity because that's the biggest one in the U.S., is because the federal tax credits are set to end December 31st, 2016, at the end of next year.
So make those calls, people.
So there, the industry is concerned that if these federal tax credits don't get re-upped, and I think they did them about 8-10 years ago, they said federal tax credits here, 30% if you put on stuff on your house.
Originally in 2006, and then again, they extended it in 2008. So
the industry says, we are not quite ready to walk by ourselves, these federal tax credits really help. And then the people who buy these stocks saying, boy, we don't like that. And in fact, even SolarCity said, we think this is going to affect the production. We're going to have to really think about what the heck we're doing. And so stock collapses. Now, remember, a lot of you out there will say, see, these federal tax credits, they're all crap. They're government handouts. Subsidies are bad. And I get that. I would really like the solar industry to get to the point where it's cheaper than coal and gas, because then you wouldn't have to worry about the damn stuff and just sell it. But remember that compared to this gas and coal and oil industry, these tax credits are way less than those dudes get.
Right, and they don't kill us all.
You're right.
They don't spew the environment to death. Thank you, Volkswagen.
What? Yeah. All right, so Roadster. So there's an interesting thing about the Roadster. So, you know, they upgraded the battery.
Yeah.
Tom reported on that.
Mm-hmm.
And for $29,000, you could basically get a new battery that took you 400 miles instead of 250 miles.
Yeah.
And the only interesting thing about that is that Panasonic's not making them.
No. Who's they're not. Them? They're being made by hand, which I think is actually pretty cool, by LG.
How many? They could probably do a lot of those every week, right?
I don't know. I mean, they're $29,000. I still don't know if anybody's actually ordered one. I'm assuming someone has, because why wouldn't you want $450 miles of range?
Actually, they can only make two or three. They can only make two or three of these a week. That's
so
upsetting.
So there'll be a backlog. Like all things Tesla, you must wait.
You will. You will wait. Now, so it turns out that, $29,000-ish, significant increase in range, being built by hand, and Tesla has said, we're not making a cent out of this. We're just doing it for good times.
Right. But some of the reason I think they went with LG was to, you know, to test other suppliers and things like that is, you know, right now they're very heavily dependent on Panasonic until the Gigafactory is open. To make their batteries. So I think it's kind of interesting. Again, I wonder if the same people who are making these Roadster batteries by hand made my RAV4 battery by hand. I wonder if it got maybe it's got LG batteries. We should open it up.
You should crack it, because maybe you really do have 180 miles of range.
That'd be awesome. And they just turned it on with the software.
I feel bad, but we haven't been covering SpaceX enough. But not much has been going on since the big old explosion on June 28th.
Boom.
Which again, Tom talked to us about, which was there was a sort of a third party part, you know, a strap that came off and exploded the whole rocket.
That's terrible. Yeah, that was the whole thing. It was just one little strap that someone else made and told Elon, no, that's fine. It'll work fine. It works good. It's good.
But they are planning their 7th of 15 launches for NASA, which NASA paid them $1.6 billion for. And that's supposedly going to happen next month in December. And actually today...
We're going to cover that live too, by the way.
That would be cool.
It's going to be great. Just like we did the last one, but it was not really broadcast live. We just recorded it live. And frankly, I think I was pretty hammered.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Today, supposedly, there is a new contract up for bidding, $3.5 billion from NASA.
Bing!
And SpaceX is going against Boeing and a whole bunch of other people. We don't know who's going to win that. We hope that Tesla does. But the big reason that they might get it, besides the fact that they can generally do stuff a lot cheaper than the big boys, is that they're the only 100% non-Russian contractor. So do it all in-house from the US. Everybody else is using the Russians. There's nothing wrong with the Russians.
No, nothing whatsoever.
But the Putin is a problem.
Yes, they're just trying to get, and there's a few congressmen who are supporting, you know, only a U.S.-made rocket program. So there's, I think there's a really good chance of SpaceX getting this contract, which will be good for their long-term health. I think that's important as a very fledgling space company because, you know, you don't hear that word a lot. You don't hear fledgling space company fledgling a lot. There's not a billion dollars. There's just not a lot of those because I think it's kind of difficult. And you know, this is something that Elon's wanted to do since he was a wee little boy.
In South Africa. Yeah. I was a wee boy in South Africa, right. And I wanted to make a rocket to get to Mars.
Right. His dad did some engineering and stuff
very
like
smart.
That.
Do you
and,
like my accent? You're not even commenting on how good my South African
it's
accent
very,
is.
You sounded like Chappie.
Yes, it looked Chappie or District 9.
Your movie accent is a genius.
It's fantastic.
Now we have no more South African listeners, however.
You can do a South African accent, I'm sure. But
no, it's fine. I can't, but you clearly can. No, it's very impressive.
Thank you. So let me do another one in a South African accent, and that is we reported in the past that Elon Musk and SpaceX was going to put in 4,000 satellites so that you could get very fast internet access. I can't get it.
You gotta stop.
Very fast internet access.
Yeah.
And just recently they've been reporting, well, you know, that was theoretical. Yeah, we got $1 billion from Google and some other people, but we haven't been thinking too much about it. We've been very busy. So if you're waiting for super fast, very cheap internet access for the world from Elon Musk, it's on the back burner for now, ladies and gentlemen, boys
I'm waiting,
and girls.
But I'm waiting for it. But, I'm gonna wait right now.
But don't wait too
long. Don't wait too long.
Don't wait too
long.
There's
some other things there's some other companies that are looking into the big balloons for internet. There's lots of different plans to give everybody access to all of the pornography they want as fast as they want, no matter where they are.
Is that what that means to you?
No.
Zuckerberg is also doing it with Facebook. So there's a lot of people who are trying to do this. Obviously, I can see why Facebook would want to do it because they make their money, and as Google does, out of more eyeballs on the internet, advertising. So there is – they sort of bring it up as a – we want to help the planet. One of the best things we can do for people in developing countries is to get them free and fast or inexpensive and fast internet access, which is true. But I think there's also another reason, which is cash. Give me some keys.
Right. But the thing that you kind of have to realize is like giving internet to the people on this planet who are not giant consumers because they don't have a lot of cash makes them not the greatest eyeballs for advertisers in some ways. However, I think, you know, altruistically, as you know and as I know, we have a passion for educating people in new and different ways, and the best way to deliver that education obviously is through the internet, as we have proven over the last decade of our lives.
It works. People like it, and it's effective.
Right. It works. People like it. It's effective, and it's an inexpensive way to get good teachers in front of children, which is the most important thing.
So we're for it.
Yeah. We're totally 100%. Not like autopilot. We are behind. We are behind this.
Got anything else before you do some Elon Musk quotes?
Well, to go back to the SpaceX thing that I was talking about, as a small boy in South Africa, before I was so rudely interrupted by Chappie, Elon had to – they didn't have like those Estes rockets thing that we grew up with. You know what I'm talking about? Did you have those in Australia?
What's an Estes rocket?
Estes, E-S-T-E-S, the company Estes, right? So you go to the store. You can buy all kinds of different size rockets, and they sell the little propellant motors. Like you can buy those.
Solid like –
yeah, they're like solid fuel sort of rocket packs, right? And you build your model, right? You paint it. You put like Mel was here on the side of it. You put a little parachute. You pack your parachute in it. You put the thing. You put it on a launch pad. And you send it up like 800-900 feet. And then if you built it right, the parachute comes out. Poof. And floats it back down to Earth, right? So model rocketry, this is a thing.
Sounds
right?
Awesome.
Not 3 miles from here is a model rocketry launch pad. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, right where they do the miniature airplanes and Woodley Park.
Oh, yeah.
There's a model rocket launch pad back there as well. So,
that's fantastic.
So as a kid, Elon was interested in this stuff. And
sounds like October Sky. You know that movie?
I don't.
Yeah, it's about these rocket dudes that did the Apollo space program. And one of them was a kid who, you know, in high school did rocketry like you're talking about. And he got better and better and better. And then one day he became a NASA scientist.
There you go. And so, and the same kind of theme for Elon, because as a kid, they didn't have those motors in South Africa. So he would have to find the chemicals and build them himself.
That's scary.
And he did. Except, you know, so there's this thing we found at time.com, and it was top 25 Elon Musk quotes. And this is where it ties into this. And the quote that I wanted to discuss today is pretty good. Elon says, "It's remarkable how many things you can explode. I'm lucky to have all my fingers." So as a small boy building rockets, he blew shit up. And, you know, we probably today would try to stifle our children from doing such crazy things as building little mini bombs in the backyard.
we're against that.
But Elon got PayPal, talking Tesla, SpaceX, SolarCity out of all of that experimentation. So don't stifle your children. Just help them keep their fingers.
Yeah, safely blow shit up in the garage.
And another thing about the SpaceX, which is interesting, there was an interview with Ashley Vance, who wrote the Elon Musk biography.
Which I loved.
And it was an energyfuse.org. And he talks about Elon, and they ask him questions about the limitations of SpaceX and Tesla. And he talks about it in terms of like how much these people work.
Right. So there's this big thing that people are leaving left, right, and center, particularly SpaceX, because Elon Musk is just pushing.
He's driving and driving and driving these people pretty hard. And he said it's very – what Ashley Vance said was, what I kept finding was it seemed like the people who were in their 20s and hadn't started a family, they loved it, right? So you get these young, amazing engineers and physicists to work on board, and they're working 50, 60, 100 hours a week, and they just love it because they feel like they're part of this space program because they are,
and they're changing the world.
And it's exciting, but you know, that has a shelf life. And I think, you know, for his companies to become mature, he has to solve kind of this problem of the work-life balance for things. But people at Tesla, employees, they talk about having so much autonomy. And so there's one more quote that I'd like to talk about.
One last quote. Here we go.
And it's, work like blank. I mean, you just have to put in 80 to 100 hour weeks every week. This improves your odds of success. If other people are putting in 40 hour work weeks and you're putting in 100 hour work weeks, even if you're doing the same thing, you will achieve in 4 months what takes them a year to achieve. An interesting insight into the man and how his sort of philosophy of running his companies is. But again, people are concerned that that's going to be, in the long run, sort of a talent drain for Tesla and SpaceX. And I know we're getting a little bit more esoteric on it.
Yeah, there's a quote in the book, the Elon biography, which I really like, which was, so he's busy and he's obsessed and he's working all the time and he gets divorced and gets married, gets divorced. And then he decides he wants a girlfriend. He's like, how many hours a week do you have to spend with a girlfriend? And he's like asking people, like, is it 5 hours, 10 hours? I'm trying to, you know, work out if I got time for this.
Right.
Like, just like, he's like so analytical.
He's
like,
got a whiteboard algorithm.
Is it 5 hours, I got time for a girlfriend. If it's 10, I don't have that kind of time.
In his algebraic thing, the G stood for girlfriend time, and he was just trying to figure out if he had any. He did. He worked out. He did. He had a girlfriend, wife, kids. It's good times.
Good times. All right. I got nothing more. And we're past the time where we should end this thing. Yeah. I know it's sad time.
Oh, it is sad. That's
good. Do you have any more quotes? Do you want to do another quote?
I don't have any more quotes. I think that's
a wrap.
That's a wrap.
That's
there's some good stuff that's happening. I don't know. I mean, we could, as a small aside, talk about the Jeffrey Katzenberg thing if you want to talk about car safety.
All right. Let's go on. So let me set it up. A Model S is really, really safe car.
Super safe, right? And the X,
even safer. Partially because of the fact that you don't have engines that can come flying at you and crush your legs.
Big crumple zones,
and you got this battery, which is also produces a lot of stability to the car. And yet, every now and then, you're going to crash one of these at high speed if you are Katzenberg.
Jeffrey Katzenberg. So the article, there was a story and it was like movie executive's life in danger, right? It turns out that movie executive was Jeffrey Katzenberg of DreamWorks. He's the K in DreamWorks, SKG, the S being Spielberg and the G being David Geffen. So
And he's the K.
He's the K.
You complete me.
And as the As the K, he basically runs the D. The D works, right? The rest of them are the big money dudes, but Katzenberg ran that thing and turned it into a thing. So this guy got into such a severe car accident. He was in the hospital for 3 days. So he had hand surgery for 4 hours, and then his time in the hospital was 3 days.
He says this car saved his life.
Yeah.
That everybody was sitting around going, dude, you should be dead. Lucky you were in a Tesla. If you were in a Honda Civic, bye-bye. Not that there's anything wrong with a Honda Civic.
No. They're perfectly fine cars that you don't want to get T-boned maybe, in the middle of an intersection in, probably.
Maybe a smart car. Yeah, smart car. What is the least safe car?
I believe they're made in the Eastern Europe, the European bloc.
Oh, that's a terrible accent. There goes the European bloc. I want to finish with a riddle.
Oh, riddle me this.
I don't know if you know this. All right. So when you go to work at SpaceX, you got to be really smart and you got to have degrees and you got to have all the math geniusness. Mm-hmm. But then Elon will do a little interview with you.
Yeah.
And he'll often ask you a riddle to see if you can think outside the box, if you're a creative type.
Yeah.
Here's one of the riddles that he uses.
This is the riddle, isn't it? Or is it? Is
I think there's multiple ones because now everybody knows the riddle.
Oh, that's a good point.
You're somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
I want you to walk a mile south.
Okay.
And then a mile west.
Okay.
And then a mile north.
Yeah.
And you return to the same place. Where are you?
I don't know. Did I drive back from the last mile? Because in most places of the world, you're about a mile away from where you started. But there is a place. I know the answer to this, so it's kind of unfair. Place.
And it's so easy after you get the answer.
Although I don't actually, you know what? I do know the answer, and I still don't understand why it's easy.
The world is a globe.
That
if
is
If you're
true.
At the North Pole and you go one mile south.
Uh-huh.
And then you go west for a mile, and then you go north, you've basically created a triangle, and you're back where you started from, because the world is not flat. The world is a globe.
Okay, so that's perfect information, right? I did not realize you were closing the triangle. I was like purely north, straight north, dead north.
Yep.
Dead.
That's what we all do.
And then straight up, and I was like, okay, so now you're like, you haven't closed the box.
Exactly, and that's why you and I can never work at SpaceX.
But isn't... Do you have to be at the North Pole for that to work? Because otherwise you're not going true north.
Yeah.
That's the point, right? You're like the back piece is true north, true south, true west, true north.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. I wonder how many people have failed it. I wonder how many genius scientists Elon was like, get out of my office, you idiot.
But I know how to do everything. I
invented an electric rocket that has 40 trillion pounds of thrust and uses only orange juice as its effluents. Get out. You didn't know you were at the North Pole, you idiot.
Is there really a guy that can fly into space with orange juice?
I don't know.
I mean, I get a lot of gas if I drink a lot of orange juice. Maybe that's how that works.
I have no idea. I just made that part up. I'm just saying that like he could have overlooked some very smart people.
It may not be his only criteria. We don't know. We can't really say.
That'd be so funny, but it kind of makes him a little bit like a supervillain, right? First, it's the I'm going to explode Mars with nuclear bombs to make it more livable. And I'm using air quotes there. And now he's got this riddle. So it's like going to work for like, I don't know, the Penguin or somebody like that. They're like.
No, I think you made the Riddler.
Yeah, but that was obvious, Mel. If I would have said the Riddler, everybody would have been like, oh, he's so cliche.
We have so jumped the shark with this episode. Let's call it done. His name is Tom Wolfson. My name is Noel Herbert. This is Talking Tesla. We'll talk to you soon.
We will indeed. Maybe we'll even whisper to you.
Whisper.
Good night.
Whisper, sweet nothing.
Good night, everyone.
Except it's not good night. Tom wanted to say one more thing. Sorry, here it is.
I have one more important thing I wanted to talk to Talking Tesla Nation about. Talk to Talking Tesla Nation. That's weird. You can't really say that. So almost once a week, I'm at work or somewhere else. Someone comes up to me and wants to have a conversation about the electric car.
Excellent.
Right? And almost every single time, it's sort of from like, I don't really understand electric cars. Do they work? Are they cool? What do you like about them? What do you like? People just, the general public still does not know anything about these cars. And me and you are ambassadors of electric cars of all ilk, the Leafs, the Priuses, all of them, the Teslas, the RAV4. So I'm putting out a challenge to Talking Tesla Nation. If and when someone comes up to you to talk to you about your electric car, let them drive it. Let them in the car.
My God.
Put him in the car. No, I offered the guy, our neighbors at the studio. He's like, it's really cool that you guys all have electric cars because we got a couple of Volts and we got the RAV4. And I started talking to him and he was actually in the market for a new car, but didn't understand like if the EVs would work for him or didn't have the knowledge and was probably afraid or didn't know where to go to find the information. Like, this show is not great for all electric cars. I mean, we talk about them sort of generally, but not specific buying stuff. And maybe we should do a show like that. But it's a challenge that I have. So all of you out there, you have your Teslas, you have your other EVs. Someone wants to talk to you about it. Talk to them about it. Teach them. It's the Talking Tesla EV Challenge. Put them in your car. If you don't feel comfortable letting them drive your car, put them in the seat with it. Let them feel how it is to drive it and let them know that it's just a car. It's a normal automobile.
There's nothing normal about it. You put it in there, drop it on ludicrous mode, hit the accelerator, and they'll go, oh! Right. So and then they'll blow it. I like that. You know, that's the whole concept behind National Drive Electric Days and stuff.
It's true, right.
Where everybody brings their Teslas and their electric cars,
right.
And the public who don't have electric cars come and have a little drive around and go, wow. So there it is, Tom Wilson throwing it out to Tesla Nation. Any idiot that comes up to you wants to drive your car, let them do it.
Right, your neighbors, your friends. It doesn't have to be any idiot, but like just be the ambassadors to these electric vehicles.
It's gonna all right, to be
it's out. The Talking Tesla EV Challenge. There let's it see it, people.
Let's make it happen. We want your stories. Then tell us the stories about how somebody got your car and crashed it. That'd be funny.
Maybe that's a bad idea.
Hope you enjoyed the show. And we've been
talking
Tesla.
Hey, Talking Tesla. Let's do it whispering for the whisperers. We'll get like a huge input of those people who like that whisper voice thing. Have you heard of that?
No.
You've never heard of this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a whole group of people who really just like, it's super popular on YouTube where people just talk, they talk about normal things about life, but they talk in a very low, whispery voice about things. And supposedly it's some sort of psychiatric condition that people love to hear, that it feels like soothing and overwhelming. And so they go to the store and they buy little boxes of things and they open them up and they explain what's in them and they use these very soothing voices.
Can you stop this? Freaking me out.